later in Macro Sunday.
He was a marine fighter pilot in the Vietnam War. He was the first pilot to fly through the Eiffel Tower. And all that, all those experiences and his research led to Bob being a huge gold investor and huge gold analyst.
Bitcoin shot up 50% in a month and dropped 10% in a day. 5 years from now, Bitcoin value will be zero. Bitcoin is an electronic Beanie Baby. It is 100% pure speculation. Now, that doesn't mean you can't make money out of it. If you can time investments in Bitcoin, you can make a lot of money.
You're listening to Macro Sunday, today not hosted by Andreas Steno. Happy Sunday out there, and yes, that's right, today's edition of Macro Sunday is going to be quite different. It's not hosted by Andreas Steno. As mentioned last week, he has gone off to London, so I, Mikkel Rosenvold, is alone on the bridge and manning this episode of Macro Sunday. That means the episode is going to be a little bit different, a little less time in the studio, and a guest of my choosing this week. We host the great Bob Moriarty of 321 Gold, a big favorite of mine, a big contrarian, so expect to be challenged on some of your beliefs, but expect to learn a lot more about the current gold rally and the prospects for gold and silver and other metals throughout 2024. We'll get back to that in a minute. It's been quite the week in global macro, quite the week for Andreas to miss the show, frankly, and we'll be sure to catch up on that next week, obviously, as well. We had a quite dovish outlook from the Fed. Jay Powell kept to his promise of three cuts, not yet cutting, but still three cuts within 2024. That's quite remarkable with the ongoing short-term inflation pressure on the US, so a big story to watch, and one that we've been covering extensively on stenoresearch.com, obviously. However, our main topic of the week, and the one that we're getting the most feedback on from both our institutional and private clients, is China. We've talked about beginning momentum in China for some weeks. A lot of our nowcast indicators have been flashing green for China. And now the story seems to be spreading and perhaps even becoming the mainstay of China analysis. Most recently, we saw the biggest increase in almost 20 years in the Li Keqiang Index, which proves to us that China is on the move. We are still long-term worried about the Chinese real estate sector, but at least in the short term, it seems like manufacturing can step in and secure solid growth for China throughout 2024. We see this as another indicator that cyclical rotation is on. We are, as mentioned, seeing beginning signs of increased inflation in the US, and this is perhaps the first sign that the US reacceleration is spilling over into China. We're still waiting for the spillover into Europe. We're, of course, situated in Europe, so we're really eager for that to happen. We are beginning to see some early strong points out of Germany. We're seeing increased electricity usage, which could very well point to a lot of the German industrial base getting back into gear to feed the increasing demand from especially US consumers, but perhaps also consumers in Europe. Other than that, the European inflation print continue to point in the dovish direction. We've seen the first rate cut from the Swiss National Bank, which basically opened the rate cutting season as far as we're concerned. So we're looking into perhaps a broader commodity bull market. We'll get more into that after the interview with Bob Moriarty. We'll get a little bit more into our portfolio moves this week as well. Remember, you can get our live trade alerts as well as access to our live portfolio at stenoresearch.com. You get full access to our macro analysis, my geopolitical editorials, and all else there. You can either sign up for our free newsletter, which gives you access to a lot of our content and a weekly sum up of our articles, or you can sign up for a free 14-day trial to our basic or premium packages to get more access to our content and our trade ideas and signals. So Now we'll head over to the interview with Bob Moriarty. Bob Moriarty is a bit of an outlier to a lot of the guests we've been having in here. Bob is not hired at a hedge fund. He's not a classical economist. He was a marine fighter pilot in the Vietnam War. He was the first pilot to fly through the Eiffel Tower. And all that, all those experiences and his research led to Bob being a huge gold investor and huge gold analyst. And that's what we'll pick up today. Gold is has seen an incredible rally throughout 2024. And we'll talk to Bob about the outlooks for gold continuing this rally throughout the year and what this could also mean for the broader commodity space. We also get some hot takes from Bob on Bitcoin, as well as a little bit of geopolitics, even though I try and refrain from that. So when I talked to Bob about setting up this interview, apparently he had a hard time differentiating Denmark from Sweden. Now, he knows there's a difference, but he requested it to be introduced on an ABBA song. And ABBA is obviously Swedish, not Danish, but I had to take that. So here is ABBA with Take a Chance on Me to introduce Moriarty. Take a chance, 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 take a chance. So now I have the great pleasure of introducing no one less than Bob Moriarty, the founder and president of 321 Gold, one of my favorite go-to websites on anything related to gold and silver investment. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you and a pleasure to be here. And it's certainly, we have some exciting things going on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Incredible times to be investing in gold, and we'll touch more upon that. I've really been struggling with how to introduce you properly, Bob, because you have such a rich backstory, obviously. You were a veteran of the Vietnam War. You were a Marine pilot there. But recently I read an editorial where you sort of used or connected that part of your background with how you got into gold investing. I think your basic point, if I understood it correctly, was you went to Vietnam, you pondered about who's actually paying for this war. Cost billions, if not trillions of dollars, and no one was really picking up the tab. Could you just elaborate on that point a little bit?
Well, going to war is something we have never prepared for. You go from civilian life into combat, and it's a total change. And the biggest shock to me was our squadron tracked everything. We knew how much 500-pound bomb cost. We knew what flight suits cost. We know what sunglasses cost. JP4 jet fuel was 2 cents a gallon. We knew everything. And I looked around after being there for a few months, and I said, you know, this is really expensive, and we're not paying for it. There was a 10% income tax surcharge during the war, but 10% wasn't very much. And we're in the same situation today. NATO and the United States are at war in Ukraine and spending literally hundreds of billions of dollars, but there's no tax for it. Therefore, something has to break. Either the currencies break or gold and silver go up. So I became a contrarian, literally going back to 1968, 1969. And I advocated owning precious metals right up until 1980. And all of the people that I had been trying to convince to buy precious metals started telling me in December of 1979 that I should own more gold and silver. And I realized these are the people that didn't want to buy silver when it was $1.29, didn't want to buy gold at $35. But when silver's $35 an ounce and gold's $400, they're telling me I need to own more. So I sold all my gold and silver a week too early. The top was on January 21st of 1980, and automatically I became a contrarian.
It's always a pleasure to talk to contrarians. We do love that on this show, absolutely, Bob. So if we zoom in on the current trend, we've seen an incredible gold rally over the past months or even years. What, in your opinion, has been the driving forces behind that?
That's a very scary question. In the last 2 days, gold has gone up to 2211 after Wednesday, and then it's dropped $50 since then. Now, the rise in gold was because of the comments from the Federal Reserve about raising interest rates. And I've got a substantial question about what's causing it to decline. But lately, the S&P, the Bitcoin, Nevada have literally sucked money out of the gold ETFs and out of gold and silver shares. So we are in a year of chaos. You can see the insanity of the war in Ukraine. You can see the insanity of the war in Gaza. And you could see the insanity of the presidential election in the United States. So this year, there are going to be substantial drivers, both up and down, for all investments, including gold and silver.
So it's all about timing and sometimes being the contrarian as well. So Bob, what's your forecast for gold throughout 2024? Is now a good time to get into gold, or is it too late?
It depends on what your objective is. And all investors have different intentions. I happen to be a believer. I'm not a gold bug per se. I don't worship at the altar of gold. I do appreciate honest currencies, and I don't think you can have an honest economy without honest money. And we don't have honest money today, but I look at investing in gold and silver as an insurance policy against financial chaos. And I believe we're going to have a lot of financial chaos this year. President Macron of France has just announced he's going to send 2,000 troops to Ukraine. And frankly, that's insane. Why he would do that, I don't know. But that could ignite World War III. And of course, all investment plans are going to blow up should that happen. We're a lot closer to World War III than anybody realizes. And I've been at war, and it's not a good idea.
We've heard the narrative that a lot of countries around the globe, especially countries who are perhaps not quite aligned with the US or the West, that they are investing in gold or diverging one more of their reserves into gold simply because they are afraid to have it all frozen if they come at odds with the US. Is there any truth to that? Has that been a driving force for gold as well?
Absolutely, and that's a two-part issue. One is the EU and NATO and the U.S. seizing, I think the number was $400 billion in Russian assets. And they're talking about we're going to sell those assets and we're going to donate the money to Ukraine. Now, that's very important because that just said that if you keep your assets within range of the debt-based Western financial system, they are at risk. You can go into the debate about how legal that is, and frankly, it's not legal. But what it's done, it sent a very clear and convincing message to the rest of the world. If you've got assets that the United States can seize, they are at risk. Therefore, you want something the U.S. cannot seize, and the U.S. cannot sanctions. And again, that goes back to the use of gold and silver as an insurance against financial chaos.
Yes, and gold and silver can still be a method of payment in sort of the less transparent dealings going on around the world, and still relevant to that. I would like to tap into your knowledge a little bit more, Bob, on gold mining, because I read one of your pieces about gold miners who could rally as much as 500% of those in 2024. Is it actually a good idea to invest in gold mining rather than in gold itself?
That's a very good question, because you're pointing something out that investors need to understand. Owning gold is not identical to owning gold stocks. Now, in theory and in the past, if gold went up 20%, mining stocks would go up 100%. They would go up a multiple of the increase in gold. But because so much money has been literally sucked out of ETFs and mutual funds, the gold mining stocks are the cheapest in relative terms to both commodities and to the stock market that they've been for 50 years. And I argue that you don't have to know anything about economics. You don't have to know anything about investing. All you have to do is understand how to measure investor psychology. Now, if 100% of the time in the last 50 years, the value of gold stocks was higher relative to the stock market and relative to commodities, that makes it a great contrarian investment. So I think we're going to see a lot of flip-flopping in the price of gold and silver. We certainly have seen it in the last 3 days. But I think there are so many extraordinary stories. The major gold mining companies are not replacing their young. They're consuming their young. And there is going to have to be a flurry of takeovers. But there's some wonderful, 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 well-led, well-managed, well-positioned gold stocks today. And I think from a contrarian point of view, there's a lot of good investments. I think people who are investing in the stock market today are in trouble. I think people investing in NVIDIA are in trouble. I think people investing in Bitcoin are in trouble. And I think people investing in gold shares, silver shares, are going to be rewarded for their patience.
I know you've written about other metals and that you have your finger on the pulse in other commodities in energy space as well. What other metals or commodities are you looking at positively for 2024?
That's a good question, because I did talk about gold shares and gold relative to commodities, but actually commodities are the cheapest they've been in 50 years. And again, as a contrarian, that makes a good investment. Here's what nobody else is discussing that's very important to understand. There is a global conflict between the debt-based system of the West and the resource-based system of the BRICS. And I'm not saying the BRICS are correct. What I'm saying is the BRICS have looked at the debt-based system of the West, which frankly is bankrupt, and said, you guys have lost all moral sense. You've lost all sense of international law. You're fighting wars constantly that don't need to be fought, and you're bankrupt financially. And they're saying, we don't want that. Now, they don't have a solution per se, but they have identified the problem, and frankly, it's the debt-based system of the West. And everybody that ever passed Economics 101 recognizes the West is functionally bankrupt, and we need to do something about it. There's going to be some massive changes in the next few years. And frankly, I mean, if you look at the American political system, you can say, yeah, there's a problem.
Absolutely. And I mean, while America may have political issues, in Europe, I think we're just starting to wake up to the facts that we're not producing any raw materials ourselves, that we are completely dependent on, at best, the US, if not the Middle East, if not Russia. Today, we saw the news here in Denmark that the Tyra net gas field is going to be reopened. Finally, we've made the very bizarre decision in Europe not to produce natural gas, basically. And Europe is slowly coming around on that, but that is a very large strategic shift for Europe, which the US have been asking for years, obviously. So very interesting situation. This decoupling, we're beginning to realize that we may need to produce some raw materials and resources ourselves here in the West. So, Bob, the final question I would like your take on is Bitcoin. Bitcoin is also is having an incredible 2024. We are having a lot of interest on Bitcoin. What's your overall view on Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies and the future for them?
Well, your listeners will hate me for this. Okay, Bitcoin is an electronic beanie baby. Okay, it's a solution running around looking for a problem to solve. It is 100% pure speculation. You can't hold it. You can't do anything with it. And the only reason people buy it is because everybody else is buying it. Now, that doesn't mean you can't make money out of it. If you can time investments in Bitcoin, you can make a lot of money. But Bitcoin shot up 50% in a month and dropped 10% in a day. And that makes it a very precarious, scary investment. I think that 5 years from now, Bitcoin value will be zero.
But I mean, those characteristics, I do partly agree with you, but are they so different from gold? I mean, yes, there are some practical uses of gold. I have a gold finger on my a gold ring on my finger here, but is it that different from the characteristics of gold?
Well, I'm a big fan of history. I read probably 200 books a year, and I've done it since I was 12 years old. I live in the south of France. And there was a revolution in 1789 caused by the peasants in Paris couldn't afford to buy wheat for bread. The economic situation was caused by the French getting involved in the American Revolutionary War. Okay, the French hated the British, and the British hated the French, and every 10 years they would go to war. So it bankrupted the king. And there was no money for food. So there was a revolution. They chopped the heads off 40,000 aristocrats. And they printed paper money. And of course, that's exactly what we're doing today, is printing money. The United States is increasing its debt $1 trillion every 100 days. Now, frankly, that's just not sustainable. That is doing the same thing, printing paper money. So in 1796, a French colonel took control of France, and he chopped the heads of a bunch more people. And the first thing he did from an economics point of view was to go back to honest money. And that, of course, is gold and silver. All of the wars that were fought by the French in the early 19th century were paid for by taxes from a booming economy in France. All they had to do to cure the problem was to go back to honest money. Now, there's a lot of people who believe that Bitcoin is a replacement for gold. I happen to disagree. And that doesn't mean I'm correct. That just means I disagree. Gold and silver has worked in the past, and all we would have to do to restore the economy of the West is go back to honest money.
It's always great to talk about the Napoleonic Wars, and on this show we don't do that enough. Thanks a lot for bringing that perspective in, Rob. Even though here in Denmark we have some less unfortunate memories of that war as well. We shouldn't have sided with the French, but that's a story for a whole nother time. Bob, it was a great pleasure to have you on the show. I highly recommend your website, 321gold.com, to keep abreast of everything related to gold and silver. Thanks a lot for joining, Bob, and have a great weekend in the south of France.
Thank you. You've asked some really good questions, and I am absolutely pleased to meet you. Thank you very much.
So welcome back to the studio after the interview with Bob Moriarty. I have to say, I'm not sure I agree with all his takes, neither on Bitcoin nor on the Ukraine war, but some very interesting contrarian beliefs. And you have to admit that Bob knows what he's talking about and has decades of experience in gold trading. I hope you enjoyed this little contrarian take in this quite different version of Macro Sunday. So, as promised, just a quick rundown of events in our portfolio. You can, as mentioned, also always check out our live portfolio at stenresearch.com if you're a premium subscriber there, which you can sign up to with a free 14-day trial to get a taste of things. Anyway, this week we took some profits, which is perhaps related a little bit to the talk we had with Bob. We took profits on silver and copper. We were very early movers in this potential commodity bull run and made quite some nice profits in silver and copper. We tend to believe that these are now in what you might call overbought conditions, so we took some profits on that. Other than that, we are not long dollar US dollar for now, not long US dollar duration for now. We do prefer some of the countries with more benign inflation paths, such as the Eurozone. Those were two of the major moves on our portfolio this week. We'll get much more into our long-term portfolio plans next week when Andreas is back, and I'm not manning the bridge all by myself. So that was all for this week's special edition of Macro Sunday. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Bob Moriarty, and we're looking forward to having Andreas back on next Sunday. My name is Mikkel Rosenvold. I'm the head of geopolitics here at State Research, and it was a great pleasure hosting you this Sunday. We'll see you next week.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.